Hello and welcome back to Joe's Art History Podcast Bite Size, small manageable podcast episodes that see me, Joe McLaughlin, your host and resident art historian, deep dive into a specific artwork or artist in 10 minutes or less. This week, we're deep diving into a work known as Flaming June by Sir Frederick Leighton. This is an incredibly iconic work in Britain, and it's one that currently is on display at the Royal Academy of Arts in London until January 2025. Now, the work itself isn't permanently based in the UK, so it seems only fitting that while it's here on a short homecoming tour, shall we say, that I thought I would dedicate a bite-sized podcast episode so you can learn all about it. So, let's get started. For those of you that may not know, Sir Frederick Leighton was a towering figure within the Victorian art world. Born in England, Leighton showed an early talent for art, studying in various prestigious schools across Europe, which included the University of Florence and the Academy of Fine Arts in Florence. His time on the continent greatly influenced his artistic development, exposing him to the Renaissance masters and classical antiquity, which would leave a lasting imprint on his work. Leighton's career flourished upon his return to England, and his painting, Cimabue's Celebrated Madonna, was purchased by Queen Victoria, which was a significant endorsement that bolstered his reputation. And the work just mentioned, Cimabue's Celebrated Madonna, is now owned and on display at the National Gallery. In 1878, he was elected president of the Royal Academy of Arts, a position he held until his death. Leighton was knighted in 1878 and later became a baron, making him the first artist to be granted such a prestigious position in the British realm. Arguably, Leighton was an absolute megastar of an artist in his day, and he's been known as championing new movements both within painting and sculpture. Now, to give you a bit of historical context, the late 19th century was a period of significant change and innovation in the art world. The Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, founded in 1848, sought to return to the detailed, vivid and complex compositions characteristic of art before Raphael. By the time Leighton painted Flaming June, the movement had evolved, incorporating influences from the aesthetic movement, which, for those of you that don't know the aesthetic movement, was a period that happened within British art history between the 1860s and the 1900s, and it aimed to escape from the ugliness and materialism of the industrial age, and it focused instead on producing art that was merely beautiful rather than having a deeper meaning. And this is often referred to as art for art's sake, so you might have heard that term before. The artists and designers in this cult of beauty, so to speak, crafted some of the most sophisticated and sensuous works of art in the Western tradition. And some of the artists within these movements include the likes of Gabriel Rossetti, William Morris, James McNeill Whistler, and of course, Frederick Leighton. Now, Flaming June itself is a masterpiece of composition and colour, and measurement-wise, it's about 120 centimetres by 120 centimetres, so 47 inches by 47 inches, if that's how you work. And it depicts a sleeping woman draped in a vibrant orange gown on top of a marble bench. The use of colour is immediate, it's striking, captures the viewer's eye, and it creates a sense of warmth and comfort when you look at the work. The composition itself is a brilliant display of Leighton's skill. The sleeping woman, which you look upon, often believed to be a depiction of Leighton's muse, known as Dorothy Denny, is enveloped in this semi-translucent, bright orange drapery. The fabric clings to her form and it accentuates her curves and creates a vivid contrast against the cool marble background. The interplay of light and shadow on her body and the folds of her dress are masterfully done, giving the painting a lifelike quality. It's the dominance of yellow, red and golden shades here that almost seem to set the figure aflame. Historians have argued that the colour composition actually stands in for the absence of the sun, whose presence is implied by an almost white strip of illuminated sea, which is above the sleeping figure's head. Leighton's attention to detail doesn't just stop at the dress, it expands into this background where he depicts a Mediterranean seascape, as just mentioned. The calm blue water contrasts with the intensity of the dress. And although the background and the sky itself is reduced to a strip atop of the figure's head, it somehow gives the work an eeriness to it. And a detail which has later been picked up and debated by historians is a small plant which is to the top right-hand side of the painting, and it's known as an oleander flower, which, although a very beautiful flower, is actually highly toxic. So it's supposed to represent, or symbolise rather, the fragility between life and death. Now, Philemon is often considered a quintessential example of the aesthetic movement's principle, so this art for art's sake. The painting prioritises beauty and sensory experience over moral or narrative context. This focus on visual pleasure aligns with the aesthetic credo and creating art that provides a respite from the industrialisation and moral structures of the Victorian society of which it was created within. The sleeping figure in Flaming Doom can be interpreted as an embodiment of the idealised feminine beauty prevalent in 19th century art. Her serene expression and relaxed pose convey a sense of tranquility and introspection. The portrayal reflects contemporary notions of femininity, which symbolise purity and beauty. The reception of Flaming Doom itself has evolved significantly over time. When it was first exhibited at the Royal Academy, it was met with such acclaim for its technical brilliance and aesthetic appeal. However, as the world itself moved on towards modernism, Leighton's work, along with lots of other Victorian artists, fell out of favour. And it wasn't until the late 20th century that a revival in the appeal of Victorian art, and indeed Flaming Doom, came about. Now, Victorian art having fallen out of favour so significantly that actually Flaming Doom was lost for a number of years. And there's a bit of contradiction in terms of the stories that I found as to where it ended up, how it was rediscovered. But essentially, from what I can understand, it was sent to be within a private collection. And I've read one story that a builder found it rolled up within a fireplace, and I've read another story where it was actually converted into a fire guard, so it would sit in front of a fire. That's how underappreciated this painting was. Regardless, it was rediscovered and the painting was subsequently purchased by the Museum de Arte de Ponce in Puerto Rico. Under the museum's stewardship, it became a centrepiece of the collection and attracts art lovers and scholars all over the world. And the museum has kindly lent the painting to the Royal Academy of Arts in London until January 2025 as a way of marking their international collaboration with the Royal Academy of Arts, but also as a way of honouring Leighton, who was the president of the Royal Academy. Now, what makes this painting more than just aesthetically beautiful? We can delve into the themes and the symbolism within it, where really, if we look at how the woman is posed, there's a debate amongst historians, is she sleeping or is she actually dead? The pose of her limp arms hanging off the edge of the bench is reminiscent of classical depictions of sleeping nymphs and even deceased figures from ancient art. So as I've said, there's been a lot of back and forth and debate as to whether or not the woman is actually alive or dead, and the symbolism that sort of lies within that. And of course, the plant that I mentioned earlier at the top right hand corner seems to symbolise either death or the fragility of life and death. And perhaps by including the plant, Leighton himself was also hinting at the very thin line between life and death, a theme which Victorians themselves would be fully aware of. And as I've mentioned in a previous podcast episode, the Victorians had a whole language based around flowers. And if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the language of flowers in Victorian art history, I will leave a link to that episode in the show notes below, where I speak with a perfume historian and artist called Michael, who discusses the use of perfumes and flowers in terms of communicating in the Victorian age. So, Flaming Doom, a beautiful masterpiece currently on display at the Royal Academy of Arts in London until January 2025. And I would urge you, if you find yourself in London, please go see this beautiful, beautiful painting. And there you have it, another episode of Joe's Art History Podcast, Bite Size. Small, manageable podcast episodes that see me, Joe McLaughlin, your host and resident art historian, deep dive into a specific artwork or artist in 10 minutes or less. If you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, rate and subscribe. It helps other people find us and it means more to me than you know. And while you're doing that, why not share the podcast with someone you think might enjoy it too? If you'd like to support the future of the podcast, please consider purchasing and gifting me a book from my Amazon wishlist, which is in the show notes below. This will be used to research future episodes of the podcast, both full-length episodes and bite-sized episodes too. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do that in several ways. You can email me, joesarthistory@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram, which is @joesarthistory. Finally, I've been your host and resident art historian, Joe McLaughlin. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep learning and remember, art is for all. Bye.